Oh.
I'm
oh.
In.
Oh. Hang on just a second,
what?
Folks. Here we go. Here
oh,
we go.
No.
Here we go.
Oh, no.
Here we go.
Why did you have to do it?
Just for you.
Thanks, God. I appreciate it.
Is that enough?
Oh, the Sophie's great. That is.
Is that enough?
Thank you, Dad.
Is that enough?
I do appreciate the applause.
Everybody's out there going, what is going on with those two today? Go ahead, tell them.
I graduated. Woo! I made it 12 years of school. Two more to go.
Two more to go. Yes, congratulations, Taylor, as a high school graduate.
That's crazy. I'm
old. Yes, it is.
I'm old now.
You're old.
I'll be 19.
Now you have to be responsible. Sophie, go lay down.
Yeah, I know.
Quit licking me. Go.
She said, I just like to kiss.
I know.
Oh, that was a big sneeze.
Go lay down.
No, I know I had to be responsible now because, you know, you told me I had to buy my own rifle this year.
That's right. And I made you buy breakfast the other day, too, when we went fishing.
Yeah. I was like, what is up with this? I used to get this stuff for free.
No longer. You have a job.
Uh-huh.
And you are out of high school.
Uh-huh.
And it's time to say hello, real world.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. But yes, I am proud of you. Congratulations. You school did not come easy for you. You had to work at it. And you worked hard at it. I mean, you did work hard for it. Mm-hmm. And we both your mom and I appreciated that.
All 12 years leading up to walking that stage and punching my dad in the stomach.
Yeah, I don't get this, folks. Okay. So we homeschooled. So this is actually graduation from mom too.
Yeah.
Because my wife has taught school for the past 20 years, mm-hmm. which in itself is a, I can remember, folks, we're going back to, we were first talking about this, and my sister-in-law and some of her friends were doing this back when our oldest daughter, Jordan, was coming along, and we were talking about school and all that. They had started homeschooling and all. And I remember Debbie going, but I don't know all this stuff. I said, Debbie, you have the teacher's manuals. It's not, you're not going to have to remember it all from grade school. But yeah, so she's taught school for 20 years. Mm-hmm. And at the end of this month, when she sends in that final report, she's done.
Yep.
So, yeah. Yeah, it's happy around. We're all kind of jet lag-ish.
Yeah.
This week, it's amazing how much stress release comes after this.
My stress release came right after I walked off the stage. I was stressed all the way up until then.
Well, I don't know. We get to walk across the stage with them. And,
so I do go to like a school 5 days a week, or I did. And that's
well,
where
I mean,
I did a
took,
lot of my...
You were at co-ops 5 days a week, and then you were at North Greenville University taking college courses too. So
I was not really at home all the time. But,
No. She was not sitting upstairs doing homework or, you know, but it's... they do a lot of work. They still have to teach more than 50% of what you take.
Yep.
So, but in the older, as kids get older in biology and, you know, trig and stuff like that, it's usually a mom in the homeschool group that teaches at co-op. And it's, mm-hmm. I mean, it's good stuff. You've learned a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But no, get this. So we get to the edge of the stage and they call her name and they, you know, and if you... I mean, she gets like 20 feet out in front of us. She is on a mission.
It is y'all's
and
fault.
No,
y'all
it's
were,
not.
Y'all were
we're taking our
long.
Time. And no, she is almost sprinting for the middle of the stage.
I wanted to get off
and then we
of
get
it.
Over there. She pokes me, first of all. And then when we start leaving, she turns around and punches me in the stomach. And I'm like, what gives? Oh, my gosh.
That was for 12 years of torment.
Oh yeah, okay. I should have been whacking you then, yeah, not the other way around.
Yeah.
Speaking of whacking, I gave you a whacking on Joe Cassie.
I knew you were going to say that.
Not only did I make you pay for my breakfast.
Listen.
I wore you out.
Okay, well. Yeah.
Go ahead.
I'm very much.
You wore me out, Dad, because I'm dumb and I'm too. I'm too obstinate to get that when the guy on the other end of the boat is catching them and I'm not, it's okay to fish the same way?
I'm very much a trick worm, Cinco, shaky head, topwater queen. But it's a different story on Lake Jocassee when you're late for the topwater bite. And there's, you could count the number of docks on the whole lake. So
on your hands
Cinco,
and toes.
Yeah. Cinco, well.
And even the dock fish. I mean, we were they just were ignoring the Cinco bite.
So, you know, we start fishing points and rocks, and that's all good and fun.
And, of course, you broke off a bedfish. You broke off a nice bedfish.
Oh, I'm so,
so
mad.
And
she probably still has that shaky head.
The shaky head is stuck in her upper lip. And then we saw a tank of a smallmouth.
I tried so hard to catch that
thing.
It was not interested, though. It was almost like a shark. Like, I saw it shallow, and we got up on it, and it just slowly
faded off into
out.
The green.
Like,
and then it came back, and then it faded away again. It was
many cruisers, and
yes, there were.
And oh my goodness, it was aggravating. And I was like, as much as I love sight fishing, the fact of the matter is when you see the fish and it's right there and you feel like you can reach down and lip them and they are not taking your bait and you can still see them swim off, it is the most aggravating thing ever.
I mean, when you can bed fish in 12 feet of water.
It's crazy.
It is crazy.
It's really crazy.
It's crazy.
But we were fishing rocks and points and all that, and I'm over here using a shaky head. And I did catch the first fish, though. You gotta
yeah,
that
okay. I'll give you that.
But then
The sun got high.
Yeah.
And then
Dad started catching.
Whipped out the
drop.
What was I throwing?
Drop shot.
The drop shot, yeah.
I hate drop shotting. I spent all of last summer
it
trying to prove
fish.
That drop shotting does not work
it
for me.
It catches fish.
And then guess who ended up drop shotting at the end of the day? That would be me.
That's it. And you what?
I caught more fish.
What?
I caught more fish.
That, folks, is almost as satisfying as watching her walk across the stage.
I never thought I'd be my graduation would be compared to Dad
fishing. Yeah, to wearing
butt.
You out. Yes.
Well, I tried to prove a point.
Yeah.
It just wasn't. One of these days, I will prove my point.
Okay.
It wasn't yesterday.
Okay. From now on, with the guy on the other end of the boat, unless you just don't like catching fish, you know.
I like catching fish. I just don't want to do what everybody else is doing, which everybody else last summer was drop shotting. And everybody
they weren't. They weren't.
Yes.
They weren't.
Yes.
Well, it works. And I have a bunch of Berkeley Max Scent flatworms to use.
I'm going to find another way to catch deep fish.
Okay.
Besides drop shot. You just wait. I'll make my own rig, and I'll make millions of dollars off of it. I guarantee one day.
Okay, we have blasted off into the unknown now.
Mm.
But anyway. But yeah, so yeah. Jocassee, we're starting to figure that lake out. Starting to figure it out. We
ish.
You know, we never made it up into the rivers yesterday because we had a battery issue. But we did. I got back there and swapped out one of the deep cycles for a cranking battery and ran to where we want and then put it back in to power the trolling motors. And
moral of the story is always charge your boat done the night before you take it out.
The charger works on the trolling motor batteries. It's not hooked up to the cranking battery, and that cranking battery's got a problem. So it's headed back to the store, and I'm going to get a new one because it's less than a year old. So anyway, yeah, that was easy enough. All right. Mm-hmm. We are Andrew Earle from the Theodore Roosevelt Conservation Partnership is here with us for probably the next couple segments, if I know how we run this show. Talking about Maplands Act and who knows what else. So y'all hang on. More Woods and Water South on the other side, and we'll be back after whenever we finish up with Andrew for more. You have that look.
Sometimes I wonder.
You shouldn't, because you actually enjoy this.
No, I don't.
Yeah, you do.
No, I don't.
And why are you here?
Because I have to
oh,
have money.
Oh, you what?
I have to have money, you know
You
what
have
saying?
To have money.
Like.
I pay you for do this.
I mean, most of the time.
Most of the time? Okay. I didn't know I did that. I had to look it
up. I don't do no free labor. I mean, hey.
Well, welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. There is always something going on, always something new. There's like the everyday, every year stuff, Taylor.
Mm-hmm.
And there's the new stuff that comes in. And then every once in a while, we lapse over and have a legislative update. We had one of those not too long ago. And we got another one. And so, and a brand new guest, never been on the show.
Imagine that.
Mr. Andrew Earle from the Theodore Roosevelt Conservation Partnership.
You
I said it. I warned you not to say it.
You told me not to say it.
Because he's Teddy to me.
I know.
You know, my brother and I are huge Theodore Roosevelt fans and have read most of his books and all that. So he's just kind of, he's Teddy to us. That's a personal thing. But anyway, from the Theodore Roosevelt Conservation Partnership, Andrew, welcome to Woods and Water, South Carolina. Thank you for taking a few minutes of your time to be with us.
Good afternoon. Thank you for having me. It's an absolute pleasure.
Please take a minute, introduce yourself, whatever you want to tell us about yourself, and then what's your kind of the hat you wear over there?
Sure. Yeah, I appreciate it. My name is Andrew Earle. I'm the Director of Government Relations with TRCP. I'm based here in Washington, D.C., so do a lot of our policy work working with Capitol Hill and the USDA and Department of Interior to affect policies and funding in support of wildlife habitat and sportsman's access. I'm from upstate New York originally, big time striper fisherman.
And
as far as hunting goes, I do my best to get out in a duck blind out on the Eastern Shore and get a couple ducks and geese however I can a couple times a year. But it's tough here being in D.C.
I can imagine. And, and y'all are busy during the right times of the year. Lots of stuff going on when the legislation opens and then towards when it closes, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. There's kind of always kind of the flurry of activity early on. And then right before Congress skips town to go campaign, there's always some last minute legislating that happens. And, you know, in the conservation space, we're fortunate enough that we kind of we get to stay out of the fray on a lot of the heavy issues, and folks tend to find agreement around the stuff that we work on in large part, which makes it fun.
And that's what the outdoors should be. The outdoors should be, because I'm not what we used to call an environmentalist wacko. I'm not that, but I'm all for clean water. You know, I'm all for conservation of our land, our natural resource and all, because I want Taylor to enjoy it. I have a grandson now. I want him to enjoy it. And that crosses those any and all political lines. You know, that is just, we are charged, and Teddy would have said it best, or he did say it best. I can't remember the quote now.
Oh, gosh.
Ding, ding, ding. But something to the fact that, you know, we have to maintain the resource and pass it down to our kids better than we found it.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a pretty good summary of what Teddy, one of those quotes he had?
Oh, absolutely. He's got one. It's what is it? It's not what we have that makes us a great nation. It's the way which we use it.
That's it. Mm-hmm. That's one of them too. Yeah. He was, gosh, yeah. I think I have a staple thing over there, Taylor, under the quotes rack over here, and it's all Teddy. I'm going to have to drag that out.
Yeah, we're going to have to drag
it out. Because he's got some great ones. I love the one about a vote, though. You know, it's like a gun. Don't just go shooting it off. the upstate New York, beautiful up there. I've never been, well, I have been through New York, through the lower edge of the state, kind of headed across into the upper part of Michigan and over into Minnesota. But I actually I went up to upstate New York, oh gosh, to pick up a boat and truck for a friend of mine and drive it back because he was sick. And, oh, man, it was up there right on the St. Lawrence River, too.
Oh,
somewhere,
sure. Yeah.
Somewhere close to Waddington, New York, up in there.
Okay,
and
yeah.
It absolutely especially, gorgeous up there.
It is, and this time of year, it's you know, so green and beautiful.
Yes.
And then, obviously, in the fall, you get all the leaf peepers coming up and checking out the changing colors. And it really is a beautiful part of the country.
Yeah, it is. See,
well, thanks, striper fisherman. You ought to come down here and fish Hartwell.
Oh, well, no. He's probably going out after those 30 and 40 pound ocean run stripers.
Never mind. Not, don't come down here.
He don't want to come down here for an 8 pound striper or hybrid.
As you can tell, I don't get out much.
am I right? Are you more of the ocean run striper guy?
Ideally, we'd go out off the South Shore, Long Island. I got a bunch of family down there.
There you go.
Also, up and down the Hudson, we'd get into it a good bit.
Yeah.
But, and down here, it's nice to, when we can, to when they're running to get out on the Eastern Shore or out into the bay, which is a pretty easy drive from here in D.C. So take advantage of it when I can.
And let's just roll this over in the second segment.
Yeah,
because we're having a good time. And I love this stuff. Okay, striper fishing down here, because we have a small population of reproducing stripers in the Broad River, but because of our dam systems and all that, all the striper fishing that is done is landlocked, Lake Hartwell, Murray, whatever.
Murray.
And it's mostly stocked fish. DNR stocks has the St. Stephens area, the Bono and all that, the hatcheries and all. And so most of our stripers are stocked. And it's most people troll for them with planer boards, herring, live herring or cut herring or whatever you can. A friend of mine down in Lake Murray will go down and fly fish for them, either when they're schooling, you catch them up on top schooling, or you go nighttime green light fishing.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, Taylor likes that. Take a few minutes and let's just have some fun. Tell us about striper fishing, like in a free run river environment or out in one of the bays or whatever. How do you do that up there?
Oh, well, we'll do a bit of trolling, just like you said.
Okay.
And typically we'll try to see if we can't use live bait or shad or something like that. And this is the time of year for it, early spring. It's probably getting a little late maybe now, but getting out there and just right off the western shore of Maryland, right on, off by Annapolis, get out for a half day or so, and just have ourselves a time.
That sounds like fun.
What size stripers do y'all catch up there this time of the year?
Oh, you could pull out something, 18, 20, 24 inches pretty easily.
Puts a little 15-inch fish down like Murray and Shane, doesn't it?
And then I'll get out there and not do much, I'm sure, next time we're on the boat.
But you're out there. That's what counts.
Yes, sir.
And part of what we're talking about today, the Maplin's Act, is about getting out there. Taylor, I think you had a softball you were going to pitch him.
A softball I was going to pitch him? What about a baseball?
Well, it comes a little too fast and hard.
Okay.
Just toss a softball for him.
So take a little bit, since we haven't had a guest on here from where you're from, take a little bit and talk about the Theodore Roosevelt Conservation Partnership.
Yeah, absolutely. So TRCP is, we are just that. We're a partnership of about 61 national hunting and fishing conservation organizations focused focused on improving habitat and sportsmen's access, just like that. Our motto is guaranteeing all Americans quality places to hunt and fish. And we were established in 2002, so actually 20 years this year,
20 years.
By a gentleman named Jim Range, who was a Senate staffer for Howard Baker, who's a longtime senator from Tennessee.
Right.
And he noticed, as he was, in his position up there on Capitol Hill, that he would, all of these groups would come in to talk about somewhat the same issues. You'd have, Ducks Unlimited would come in and talk about waterfowl habitat. You'd have the Wild Turkey Federation would come in and talk about, the importance of forest stand improvement and improving, habitat for turkeys. And it was kind of this thing where we're all talking around the same issue, but there was nobody bringing all of these voices really together under one umbrella in support of hunting and fishing broadly. And it's that idea that a rising tide lifts all boats. So in the last 20 years, we've built really this coalition. We're the largest national coalition of hunting and fishing organizations that work on policies and funding at the federal level to improve the state of hunting and fishing in the United States, and have had a great deal of success. We punch above our weight, which is a testament to really our partners, the partner organizations that we have, and kind of the reputation that has been built for us on Capitol Hill, which is great.
You know, we're here to talk about the Maplin's Act. We've got about a minute and a half before we get to that, and we'll get to that in the next segment. Take a minute and talk about some of the other issues or things that y'all have worked on in the past, so people kind of have a framework of what y'all have done.
Sure. Yeah. You know, something that we focus on pretty heavily is the 5-year farm bill. And so that is actually the biggest piece of conservation legislation that Congress considers every 5 years. And it's a $750 billion piece of legislation that includes everything from crop insurance and market facilitation over abroad and, you know, school nutrition and food stamps and things like that. But $30 billion of it is conservation money. And that's funding, financial and technical assistance directly to landowners to incentivize them to, undertake conservation practices that improve soil and water quality and wildlife habitat, okay, especially. So, if you're hunting private land in the United States, there's a good chance that you've hunted Conservation Reserve Program land. And that is a big, big program that we support, which, puts acreage directly into habitat conservation.
Gotcha. Yeah, I was looking. There's a long list. If you want to, and I'll just chew up the rest of this segment with me talking and a little bit more music. But trcp.org is the website.
Yes.
You kind of list some of the things you're working on now. Like I see the safe passages, which is wildlife crossings and all, which is kind of cool. There's all sorts of stuff you can look at, get more information. That's trcp.org. And let's listen to some more bumper music. Be back on the other side with Andrew and a little more talk about the Maplin's Act, which I guess, has it been signed yet, Andrew? Yes or no?
Yes, sir. It was just signed about a week or two ago.
Yeah, there you go. All right. We all hang on. We'll be back after the break with more Woods and Water South Carolina.
Don't think I don't think about it. No, no. Don't think I don't. Don't think I don't.
And welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. How you doing over there?
I'm great.
You good?
I'm great.
Okay. Yep. How's Andrew doing?
I'm well. Thank you. I'll go on record as a fan of the music.
Oh,
hot
God.
Dog. Oh, you know what we got to do then? Okay.
No,
he brought it up. He brought it.
No, we don't.
Yes, we do.
No,
okay.
We don't.
All right. Andrew, I want you to listen to this. And I want you to, let's see, do I want to do it from here?
I don't know, Dad. What are you, Sophie?
Let's see. Let's do this. Hang on a second, Andrew. We're having fun anyway, so let's do this. Let's see. Okay. All right. I want you to listen to this, Andrew. And I want don't say out loud who it is.
If you
think about
it
in your who this is. Got it?
Yeah.
All right. Oh, Taylor, this is gonna be fun. All right.
I already know
for all the beans.
This battle.
All right. Is this Darius Rucker or is this Hootie and the Blowfish?
Oh, man.
Oh.
I think that's. Is it Darius?
Well, I mean, technically it is, but in your mind, when you hear that voice, is that always going to be Hootie and the Blowfish or is that always going to be Darius Rucker?
That'll always be Darius Rucker.
Oh!
Oh,
yes!
Man. Crushed.
Which I can feel my father is not happy with.
See.
I'm telling you that I'm racking up the points.
She is. Taylor's racking up here lately.
No one has had a better second act than Darius Rucker.
Oh no,
this is true.
This is very true. And I see if you follow Darius on Facebook, he's still releasing new music.
He is?
Yeah.
Oh, I believe it. I should give him a follow. I don't know that I do, but
Beers and Sunshine came out last year.
Oh, you've been playing that song so much lately.
Yeah, and then he's got I just saw he rolled out something else the other day. And
Look at him go.
And he's doing a waterfront concert in North Charleston in October, I think.
Can we go?
Oh,
please.
Oh, listen. Andrew's like, oh.
Worth the drive from New York.
Yeah. Charleston in October is a wonderful place. Well, thanks for being thanks for playing along, Andrew. But music on this show is, we like to talk about it.
Mm-hmm. Depending on what it is.
Depending on what it is, yes.
Yeah.
Well, we talked during the break that we had 10 minutes. Actually, Andrew, you had about 7 or 8 minutes.
Yeah.
So let's get to the original reason for this phone call and all is something called the Maplands Act. Granted, folks here in South Carolina, this may or may not affect us, seeing as, the Francis Marion is pretty well accessible and the Sumter National Forest and all this. So,
Andrew Island and all that.
Yeah, and stuff like that's readily accessible here in South Carolina. But if you travel out of state, especially west of the Mississippi River, this is gold stuff. So y'all perk up, listen, because it does affect us all, and it is good legislation. So, Andrew, take it away.
Yes, sir. Yeah, so the Mapland Act, as it's known, or in the long form, it's the Modernizing Access to Public Lands Act, was kind of born out of an effort that we as an organization dove into with Onyx Maps, the mapping application, in like 2018 or 2019 to identify landlocked parcels of public lands across the U.S. And as you mentioned, obviously, in an acreage standpoint, a lot of that is out west. But in total, across 22 states, including some in the southeast, Florida, North Carolina, Arkansas, Tennessee, we totaled about 16.5 million acres of landlocked state and federal lands, surrounded by private lands that were totally inaccessible to hunting and fishing and recreating more broadly, which you as a taxpayer are paying for.
Sure.
And so as we dove a little bit deeper into this, we found that there's also another layer to the problem here is that so much of the mapping data, the maps, easement data, access points were held on paper files at these land management agencies, at the Forest Service, at the BLM. At the Forest Service on its own, there's over 37,000, easement records that are held in a filing, in filing cabinets on paper and had never been digitized. So as you, as a hunter or angler or a recreator, use technology, use Onyx Maps or use any mapping software to plan your next hunting excursion, there was so much information that was just incomplete. And that's, roads and trails and whether they're open and closed and who they're open to, boundaries for shooting and hunting areas and access points across private lands. So what this bill does, which, as you mentioned, was pretty overwhelmingly passed by the House and Senate.
Sure.
just earlier this year, directs federal land management agencies to go ahead and digitize that data and gives them about 18 months to go ahead and do that. And we provide it. The bill provides about $5 million for the Forest Service, the BLM, USGS, Army Corps of Engineers to go ahead and do that work and digitize it. And, it will improve access to millions of acres of public land across the U.S.
Now, when it's all digitized, will this be like if I look at the BLM website in a certain state and will it be there, or is it going to be like just one place that all this information is stored at?
It should be accessible via the BLM website.
Okay.
and state BLM pages and then as well on your Onyx Map.
Okay.
Or whatever software application you're using. Yeah,
because Onyx will go in and every time they digitize something on the federal side, Onyx will incorporate it into their app.
Yes, sir.
Okay, cool. Cause, yeah, because having been out west several times and I want to go more. I've already told my wife when Sophie has left us here that
I want to,
I'm just making plans for the future.
Uh-huh.
I want another setter. I want to get back into bird hunting. So I want another English setter. And some of my friends go out west. You know, they may go to Montana, Wyoming, whatever, and they just live in their truck for a week, and they bird hunt.
Notice all of this does not include me. Like,
that's
my
right.
My name does not
no,
come up
it does
in
not.
Any
your name
this.
Will not come up in this at all. yeah. And just bird hunt. Just and when you're doing something like that, access is everything.
Sure. Yeah. And knowing where property lines are and you know, reducing conflict in that way and just really, really important. And to bring all of this into the 21st century, it seems overdue.
Well, I don't know if we're only 20 years into it.
Only 20.
Oh, me. Well, that is great news. And I'm sure there's a lot of guys like me who are planning future stuff that are like, great. Now I don't have to worry about it. If it's there, it's there. If it's not there, it's not accessible. Just, it's not, I'm not missing anything then.
Right. Yes, sir.
Cool. Well, you got about 2.5 minutes left over. Is there any, what other things are y'all working on or that you see coming to the horizon that people might need to be on the lookout for?
Sure. Well, one that we're getting pretty close on in both the House and the Senate is the Recovering America's Wildlife Act. And this is pretty landmark legislation that's been hanging around for, oh, geez, the better part of 10 or 15, maybe 20 years now. And it would, what it would do is dedicate about $1.3 billion a year to state wildlife and DNR, state wildlife and natural resource agencies, to carry out their state wildlife action plans.
Okay.
So that's, you know, that's directly keeps species off the endangered species list, basically. So in the end winds up saving a ton of money, and it's just, you know, proactive wildlife conservation at the state level. In South Carolina specifically, just because I have it up here, a ton of work with the sea turtles and gopher tortoises, and just keeping a lot of these both game and non-game species, you know, off you know, the threat of any regulatory action there. And
sure.
And it really, so this would provide a windfall in funds and would be stepped up over time to make sure that states can take full advantage of this money.
Okay.
But really provide a wealth of resources for state agencies in carrying out their mission of managing wildlife within their boundaries. So the bill has, it was passed by the House Natural Resource Committee earlier in the year. It was also passed by the Senate Environment and Public Works Committee. And basically now the two bills are awaiting consideration, you know, one before the full House and the other before the full Senate.
Okay.
And this is about as far as we've gotten in this process, as I mentioned, thus far in the history of this bill, but really encouraged by the progress so far and hopeful that despite it being an election year and, you know, the kind of the time crunch that we're under as far as, session time as it goes here. I mean, you know, pretty soon they start smelling jet fumes here in D.C. and getting back out home to campaign. But, you know, this is one of those things, like I mentioned, that, you know, conservation tends to the bipartisanship tends to form around sure. these issues. And this is one that obviously I, you know, personally would think would be really popular with voters back home. And yeah. if I was a Republican or Democrat, I would be eager to put my support behind and try to put a win on the board here. So cool. we're working hard on it with TRCP and all of our, you know, suite of partner groups. And yeah, hopefully we can get something done here in an election year.
Very good. Andrew, it's been a pleasure having you on Woods and Water South Carolina. I hope in the future, anytime you need to talk to us, just give us a holler.
Wonderful. Look forward to it. Thanks for having me.
Yes, sir. Thank you. All right, y'all. Hang on through the break. We'll be back with the last segment of the show for this week, and who knows what we're going to talk about. But we'll talk about something. Hang in there.
Back many memories.
Oh yeah.
It's the Blues Brothers, right?
Oh, yeah.
I knew it. I can hear you singing this too. I just remember when you and Uncle Paul dressed up as the Blues Brothers for a benefit.
No, it wasn't Uncle Paul and I.
I thought it was Bo. It was Bo.
Yeah.
Never mind.
Bo and I. Seemed like a lifetime ago, but yeah,
it was.
Uncle Paul still has the band. I mean, the Traveling Wannabes.
Yeah.
And they if you need a band to play at whatever.
A pig picking.
Yeah, I mean, they do. Oh, they get 60s, 70s, 80s stuff. They do a little bit of country, some. And it's widespread, and they're all. It's all fun, and they're really pretty good. But yeah, we used to do some benefit concerts. I think the first one was for Lindsay to buy a wheelchair for basketball. One of her first, the first one we did up in Uncle Paul's house like that. But we've done several, and they do, like I said, they'll come out and play for whatever. But yeah, somebody asked us to do a Blues Brothers tribute. So we rented the black hats and everything, and
the suits.
Yeah, and
sunglasses.
Bo and I got up there and sang Blues Brothers songs.
I remember that.
That was some fun times.
Yeah, that was.
I thought you were going back to say you remember when you were a baby. I used to calm you by playing
the
Blues Brothers. You don't remember that.
When Taylor
was a baby, and just you couldn't console her with anything else, I could. At that time, it was a VHS cassette tape. You flip that in the player, and it was like magic. As soon as that movie started playing, it took you a minute or two to figure out that you were watching it again. But it would calm you down when nothing else worked. Amazing. So yeah, okay. Anyway, thank you to Andrew Earle for coming on and talking about that. And one thing we didn't get to was the CWD legislation that's out there. I'm sure as that progresses, I told him he's welcome back anytime. And so we'll see about having him back on. But, yeah, fun times. Yeah, you know, I think the total phone call was 48 minutes or something like that. we enjoy talking off the air just as much as we do on the air sometimes. I have to do a retraction here about Fat Bear Week. It is not Fat Bear Week yet. Several weeks ago, I talked about Fat Bear Week at Katmai National Park and Preserve because it's just one of those things I like to keep up with, and it's just funny. But it's not until September, which would make sense because that's the salmon run.
Yep.
And they're putting on a lot of weight. I mean, right now, they're skinny because they're just coming out of hibernation. So I should have known better. But anyway.
Dang, Dad.
Fat Bear Week. It's a March Madness-style bracket challenge pitting individual bears against each other. The public can look at videos. They have a lot of webcams and all, and you can look at them and you can vote by bear. And it should be the end of September. So it started last year, September 29th, and ended on Fat Bear Tuesday, October the 5th. Oh, they had a junior division last year too.
A junior division?
A junior division, yes.
What do the bears get out of this?
I don't know.
They don't get any, like, prizes or anything like that?
I mean, the bears get all the salmon, which makes them fat.
Well, I mean, I guess.
I don't know. What do you get a bear?
It. You know,
I don't know what you get a bear.
A thing of honey. I don't know.
But anyway. Yeah, so Fat Bear Week is not happening right now. If any of you went off to explore.org to vote on Fat Bear Week, sorry about that. Mm-hmm. It's coming September. I keep you posted. We might have a fat bear chance. We might have a pool for choosing which fat bear is going to win this year.
They need like a first and second and third place like prize. You know, just go like find the bear.
Who wins.
Just be like, yeah, hey.
Oh, we could do something different for us maybe. But yeah, fat bear. Sorry about that, folks. If you got all excited about Fat Bear Week, it's not until September. And we got a big calendar this week with a lot of stuff, and I don't know if we'll get to it or not.
Probably not.
Because we have not done a good calendar in a couple weeks now. Brought to you by Capital City.
Lake Murray Country.
If you're into Rocky Shoal spider lilies, you know, they bloom once a year, and the largest concentration of them in the U.S. is on the, is it Lansford Canal State Park over near Lancaster, South Carolina? The Lily Watch, the latest update. As of May the 12th, as of today, stable water levels, because if you have fluctuating water, it can affect the bloom and all. But they're saying it's practically at peak right now. So this weekend, next week or so, as long as you don't have a whole lot of water to wash it away, the spider lilies or the rocky shoal spider lilies are at full bloom now. So if you want to go see those, go over there. They did say that the water levels are low, so getting a canoe or a kayak down from the state park area to the water lilies is challenging.
Yes.
And if you go to the website, the Lansford Canals website, they do have like tips for flow rates and all. If you want a canoe down that area to look at them, they have a flow rate that's like a minimum. Anything above that, you can get down there. So get information, you know, for what it's worth. They only bloom once a year, and they're only in a very specific location. There are some on Stevens Creek over in Georgia that somebody was showing pictures the other day of them. But anyway, go ahead. What do you got?
Well, if you're up here in the upstate or even feel like taking a trip, Grace Baptist Church is having a sportsman's banquet May 21st at 5, and their guest speaker is one of my favorites. Mr. Hank Parker is going to be there.
Gives you the boy talk every year.
Yes. They're going to have some bluegrass music. It doesn't say what they're having to eat. Doesn't say anything about tickets. But I guess you can go to the Grace Baptist Church website and see how to register and what kind of food they're having.
Yep. It looks like they probably got some giveaways, too, with PSA down
probably
there and all
that. Probably
have
PSA on there,
The American Sport Fishing Association, leading up to National Fishing and Boating Week, which is June 4th through the 12th, is having fishing share the fun. And they're asking you, they have a favor to ask of you, and that is to take a friend fishing. If you go to the American Sport Fishing or ASAfishing.org, look at fishing share the fun. They've got resources for you. Say, for instance, this week is take a friend fishing. Next week is help someone get started. The last week in May is re-engage anglers. The first week in June is where to fish. And then National Fishing and Boating Week is coming up. So, you know, share the sport. It's always better when shared with a friend. Unless your dad is wearing you out catching fish on drop shots.
Okay, I have more to get to, more actual important things. Thank you very much. Forest and Wildlife Management at Belfast Plantation is putting on a field day Saturday, May 21st from 8 a.m. to 3 p.m. There's going to be some seminars about benefits of thinning, wildlife foods, native species, chemical treatments, stuff like that. It's $20 per person. There's going to be some food. Ooh, Wise Barbecue is going to be there.
Ooh, we've had Wise's before at the Dove Shoot in Chester.
Yep. And today is actually the deadline to register. So if you want to RSVP, you can email newberrysoilandwater@gmail.com. And looks like they actually might have some giveaways there, too.
Might have some. This from Lake Murray. America's Boating Club of Lake Murray is having an open house on May the 21st. As part of National Safe Boating Week, speaking of, next weekend we are doing boating safety with a good friend of mine, if that all holds together, for National Boating and Safety Week. America's Boating Club and Lake Murray Pirate Squadron hosting an open house from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. at 2390 Johnson Marina Road, Flotilla Island, the end of Johnson's Marina Road between Chapin and Ballantyne. Stop by to learn about all the benefits, including our educational courses, civic activities, boating and social activities, and boating safety through education. Free vessel safety checks available for those who arrive by boat. Again, it's May 21st at America's Boating Club on Lake Murray.
The Cub Scouts are putting on a fishing tournament at Tougaloo State Park at the main boat ramp, and it's going to be on May 21st. Everything's on May 21st.
This was packed calendar. I told you we had to get to it.
It starts at 6 a.m., this is a tournament for all skill levels, and you can have a team boat, kayak, john boat, or fish from the bank. It's $40 per team, $20 per small boat, and $10 for the bank. If you want to go, call or text 706-410-6510 to register.
Okay. Coastal Expeditions, May the 22nd, they're having a Boneyard Beach Sunrise Expedition. Cape Romaine is closed from dusk to dawn, and no camping is allowed, so nobody can get out there and watch sunrise. from the Boneyard except through this. So, I mean, it's a 2-mile walk there and back, about a 3-hour total. What to bring, drinking water, sunscreen, insect repellent, a thermos or coffee, you know, weather, bees, all that stuff. But anyway, it's a chance to watch sunrise from the Boneyard.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Yeah, which is really cool.
And the Boneyard, if
Coastal Expedition.
If y'all have no clue what the Boneyard is, go watch Outer Banks. It's on Outer Banks.
Oh, my goodness. I can't believe you said that. Outer Banks. Filmed in Charleston, South Carolina.
I've been on a kick lately. The second annual Jack Hunt Memorial Tournament is, again, May 21st at Green Pond Landing. Safe flight till 3 p.m. It's a $100 entry fee per boat. There are cash prizes for first, second, and third place. There's some rules and regulations you can go to on the PBC website, and you can register at the PBCTournamentTrail.com.
We'll break the cycle here. May 25th.
Oh, gosh.
Yes, the Bob White Quail History, Biology, and Practical Management for South Carolina Landowners is being held in Scranton, South Carolina, 2561 South Friendfield Road. There is a registration link if you go to South Carolina Bob White Quail Initiative. You'll find a link there for it. Biologists from DNR and Clemson will be there. Interact directly with biologists and discuss natural history, biology, and management of Bob Whites and other members of the Grassland Bird Guild. Classrooms in the afternoon, you're going to be outside walking around looking in habitat, which is really cool. Contact Parker Johnson. That is pdjohns@clemson.edu for more information. And with that, that's another show. Thank you, Taylor.
Thank you, Dan.
Appreciate it. Thanks for everybody for listening. As always, make time to get out there.
Take the back roads when you can.
And don't forget that camera. We will see you all back here next week with more Woods and Water, South Carolina.